This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is a WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking lawns and gardens, and also talk a little bit more about the Secret Garden Tour, which is also coming up. A lot to talk about. If you have any lawn or garden-related questions, you can text those to us right now at 615-893-1450. And we have in studio with us today, Master Gardeners Lynn Reynolds and Reggie Riggs, and then also from the Discovery Center, Rebecca Douthit. So how are all of y'all doing today?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Well, good. So I guess, Lynn, starting off with you, what are some of the things we're going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to look at adding curb appeal to your landscape and come up with hopefully some helpful and simple solutions and ideas for people. And as you mentioned, people can call in if they've got specific questions they want us to target. And then we're going into a little more detail on the Secret Garden Tour, which promises to be pretty fabulous this year. And we'll just wrap up with some of the other programs that are coming right up. The very first one is this Saturday, the first Saturday of every month. We have a Linebaugh Library Series, and it's Saturdays in the Garden. And that happens at 10 a.m. on the second floor conference room. It's free, and there will always be a master gardener with a specific topic, and because of the time, it will be vegetable gardening this weekend.
Sounds good. And of course, adding curb appeal is always a good thing, especially in this housing market when folks are some trying to sell a house, some trying to buy a house. But it's quite expensive to do landscaping these days.
It can be, especially if you're contracting that work out. But there's some things you can do on your own to get some ideas, to just do little things at a time to increase your curb appeal. A couple of things that we'll touch on just briefly in terms of plant materials. Going to a garden center, a local garden center, and selecting plant materials you think you might like in your yard. Please avoid invasive species. We don't want to include anything that's invasive that will spread from your yard to other yards and into natural areas and pastures and fields. Try to prioritize native plants. It's really important for us to include as many native plants as we can in our landscape because our pollinators are so dependent on those. And as our landscape is constantly being changed and converted to, you know, commercial and retail property, we need to just have as many natives in our garden incorporated as possible. Be sure and look at the plant tags. So many of us, myself included, many others, we've all gone out and bought something that we thought was a beautiful plant. We'd love to have it in our landscaping. Come in and we plant it, but we don't really think about what it is or how it grows, and it winds up being too big for where we want it. It winds up needing dry soil, and that site was wet. Maybe it winds up being in the shade, and it really needs sunlight. So be sure and look at the plant tag on everything that you bring home to plant before you plant it. If it doesn't have a tag describing its growing conditions, just a name, then get on the web, look up that name, or grab a good garden book. But make sure and research what that species is, whether it likes alkaline or neutral soils, or acidic soils, whether it wants sun or shade, how tall does it get? So lots of interesting things, important things to look at before you even dig that hole to put that plant in the ground.
You know, you bring up a good point with knowing what you're actually buying, because I don't know how many calls we've gotten over the years from folks who have said, you know, I've got this tree right next to the house. It's massive. I don't know why the previous owners put this there. But you do hear story after story. People will plant a very small young tree right next to the house, not realizing how big that tree is going to get. Next thing you know, it's through the windows.
Yeah, we have a saying, right plant, right place. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes is hard to always know. So a lot of gardening is sometimes moving things around. And my personal recommendation is go to the local garden centers. Go to the centers that are actually owned by the people who are running them, because they actually understand the plant materials and they can answer those questions. The big massive garden centers, you're really on your own. It's a self-serve kind of thing, and that's fine if you understand plants, but if you really want that extra touch, go to the places that are in your area They're going to recommend the plants that they know grow well here, and not just the standard, you know, a flat of pansies kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, because sometimes you've got the folks at the big box retailers who maybe you have a kid who's usually working in the door section.
Exactly.
Today is
that's
filling
true.
In.
Yeah, yeah, so, they mean well, but that doesn't mean that they actually understand what they're selling.
And Lynn touched on something that's a good point there. Don't be afraid to move plants. I move things. You know, our gardens evolve over time. Shade conditions change. It just needs to be modified from time to time and adjusted and tweaked. And I have no problem moving plants. I have moved trees, you know, maybe 2 or 3 inches in caliper, just get enough root ball up. I do it at the right time of the year, which is typically fall or winter. But do not be afraid to move something. If you bring something home and you wind up in the wrong place, or the character of your garden changes, it just needs to be somewhere else. Or if it's just not working for you, dig it up and give it to somebody else who might have a place for it. But don't be afraid to move things.
Yeah, and if it seems like it overwhelms you, you know, you can hire somebody to help you dig it out, you know,
sure.
Or grab some friends on a Saturday. When we moved into our home, we moved 2 trees and 6 bushes, all because they weren't planted in areas that were going to make sense in 5 years. They were right up against our house. We knew they were going to overgrow it. And that isn't something you necessarily know when you walk into it. That's why we're here, actually. That's why the Master Gardeners exist, is to help people figure out what is the right plant in the right place.
And we already have a question here. It says, I would like to plant a dogwood tree in my front landscaping, and I'd like to incorporate it in the area directly next to or in front of my sidewalk, but I don't really know how big it's going to get. Is this a good place for it or not?
Dogwoods are wonderful landscape trees. As long as it's got room, it's going to be maybe 10 feet, 15 feet high at the most, and they're fairly slow growing, maybe 10 feet wide. It can be 15 feet wide. So give it a few feet, several feet away from your sidewalk. And as it grows, you can even limit up a little bit once it gets high enough to be able to walk under it. But a dogwood tree is not going to be a real big tree. Spectacular color, of course, in the spring with flowers, in the summer with the berries it'll have on it from where the flowers were. And in the fall, the leaf color is a beautiful red color. So it's a wonderful tree. It can be a small shade tree, so it can't be near a sidewalk, but just give enough room 3, 4, 5 feet away from that sidewalk.
So about 10 feet wide is the biggest?
Eventually, yeah, okay. Eventually. It's going to be a slow grower.
You don't want that to take over the sidewalk, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and it's a lacy open tree. It's a beautiful tree. It also is natively an understory tree. So when you buy that dogwood, make sure you're buying a cultivar of dogwood that if your front yard is getting a lot of sun all summer, make sure you get one that can handle the direct heat.
Yeah.
Okay, and then here's another question. It says, how can I get rid of the poison ivy around my fence and around my trees?
That's a tough one. Poison ivy is really tough to get rid of. About the only way to do that, and in personally gardening, I stay away from chemicals as much as possible. I try to garden organically, whether it's vegetables or ornamentals. But there are times when you need to break out a good, strong insect pesticide, using that according to the label. But you're going to have to use something like brush killer. There's a number of products out there, chemicals in most garden centers, that are called brush killers or poison ivy killers. And that's what it's going to take. You're going to have to use something like that and basically scorch the earth around where that is growing until it's gone. And then you can start over planting things you want there. But you're going to have to really go after that one really hard. It's not going to be easy.
Now, I've heard of people burning the poison ivy after they get it down, burning it in their brush pile or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is it true that when you burn it, if you inhale it, you can actually get some of that, whatever that is?
You can. Some of that debris that's coming out in the smoke can actually infect you.
Oh.
So I wouldn't burn it. I would bag it up and send it to the garbage.
Yeah, that would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You can inhale it as a kind of an oil on the smoke,
mm-hmm.
and it will get in the lung, and you'd have to be on top of it. And if that's your only solution, but Reggie's probably got a better idea there. And the other thing I just wanted to re-step on is you've got to be careful. You know, as consumers, we tend to look at insecticides, pesticides, herbicides as something, if it's on the market, don't worry about it. If it says shake well, well, I gave it a little shake and now I'm just going to pour it on. Those labels are there to protect our water quality, because all this stuff eventually leaches into some kind of groundwater or it runs off into a storm drain. And so it spells it out pretty clearly on those labels.
Yeah, just follow a label.
Yeah.
Here's another one. I know you mentioned invasive plants. Make sure you don't plant those in your garden or landscaping, but I look at this as invasive. The person says, my neighbor planted bamboo a number of years back and it's encroaching into my yard, and I've asked them kindly to help me stop that from happening, but it hasn't worked. So I guess what are some of the things to do to get rid of bamboo? Because that's one of those plants that people don't think of when you think about plants that can be invasive.
That is a very aggressive plant.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I am not sure of the best way to stop that. It may take a chemical treatment again as it gets into your lawn. It may take a ditch digging down so that the plant can't shoot its runners through. Maybe a ditch down with some kind of a hard barrier in that ditch. That's a tough one, because it's a very, very aggressive, fast-growing, spreading plant.
Yeah, really a bad idea to put in directly into the ground unless you want a bamboo forest.
Because it does turn to that very quickly.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can't control it.
Yeah, that would not be fun. Let's take a phone call real quick here. Our number is 615-893-1450. Good morning, you're on WGNS. Well, I guess they didn't stay on for very long. Hey, it's really easier if you guys text in, because that way we can get to more questions. But the number to text in, 615-893-1450. What should folks be doing this time of year? I guess their main thought process should be what if they want to have nice landscaping?
I would get out. It's a beautiful time of the year to get out and look at other people's gardens. Mm. We'll talk about that in a minute with the Secret Garden Tour coming up, which is, well, let's touch on that for a minute now. I highly recommend that we get out and look at other gardens, whether it's going to a botanical garden somewhere, Cheekwood, say, walk in your neighborhood. If you see something in your neighborhood that you really like, make note of it, take a picture of it, go on garden tours. And we have a garden tour coming up sponsored by the Discovery Center. It's been running for about 30-some-odd years.
This will be our 33rd year.
It is a way, once a year, it's a fundraiser for the Discovery Center to see, we'll see five gardens this year, and they're private. Three are private gardens that are only open to the public during this one weekend event, June 7th and 8th, I believe that is.
Saturday and Sunday.
And so we'll let Rebecca talk about that for just a few minutes, about the Discovery Center. And this is a great opportunity to get out and really get some ideas. I've seen all the gardens on the tour this year, and they all have wonderful ideas you can replicate at home to enhance your curb appeal.
You know, you can really get some good ideas by looking at other folks' gardens, and it's always interesting to see what they do, especially if it's a creative person. But tell us about the gardens this year.
Yeah, so this year we have our community garden that we're featuring, and that is just behind, is it State Street?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's on State Street, behind one of those churches. And that one's going to be a wonderful garden, because we'll have volunteers there telling all about the vegetables that they grow and all that they do at the community garden. And then we have the Mefford Garden, Zimmerman Garden, Sugarbush Farms Garden, and then
Zimmerman,
Mefford.
And Sugarbush Farms is going to be a fun stop. That is a working flower farm.
Oh, cool.
And they'll actually have a kiosk out front with flowers for sale. But that is a local working flower farm, so that'll be really fun to see. A lot of diversity, a lot of different kinds of flowers, primarily for cut flowers. One of the gardens is going to have a plant sale this year. So as you're making your way around to this particular garden, if you do the garden tour, you'll see it. You'll come to it. They'll have perennials, flowering shrubs, and trees for sale. But again, the Secret Garden Tour is really all about getting out and getting the public a chance to get into some private gardens and get ideas about how they can enhance their curb appeal and enhance their landscape. Each of the gardens will have things you can replicate at home, small or big. Some more little things that you can do is small water features. And I just put in a small water feature in our backyard. It's a large bird bath, a fairly large bird bath, bigger than typical, almost like a concrete bird bath you often see on an urn on a stand, and put a small solar pump in it. And I was pretty skeptical about whether that would actually work. But it's doing a great job. If the sun is shining at all, even light shade, it still has a spray feature in it.
Oh, cool.
So a burbling fountain, a fountain kind of thing, but no electricity going to it. Just a simple floating pump. That works great. Gazing balls are good things to add to your gardens for interest. And to break it up a little bit, pottery in your garden with plants in it, pottery laying on a side with plants spilling out of it. We talked about on the way in a while ago, before we came in, about how important it is to have curving sweeps of edging in your garden. So many of us tend to have pretty straight edges along the flower beds around our house and maybe around the perimeter of the yard. Typically those are straight lines and we plan between those. It's just what we do. It's what we tend to see. But if you'll make those edges of your beds sweeping, curving things, kind of more like nature would have, increasing the size of your beds as much as possible and decreasing the size of your lawn as much as possible. But you can do a lot with your flower beds if you would just round off those corners, put sweeping curves in there, and kind of think of ways to just enhance the look without having those straight linear edges that we all tend to have.
You know, it's amazing how different a house can look with good landscaping versus no landscaping.
Yes.
Huge difference.
It really is. It's amazing the difference.
And the Secret Garden Tour is going to give you some real good ideas about just what we just talked about, how to soften those edges, how to cottage up your garden, so to speak, and make it more inviting.
Yeah, hanging plants. This is the season for hanging plants. You can find incredible baskets. You know, they do require a steady water source, so you don't want to plan a 1 month summer vacation and have a bunch of baskets that you haven't figured out how they're going to survive it. But they are another beautiful thing if you have porches or baskets on stands. Those things are just simple, easy. Ferns, things like that. Those are all, you know, a seasonal idea, but they have a huge impact on your own sense of when you walk up to your home. And that, if it affects you when you walk up to your home and you feel, wow, look at how beautiful this is, just imagine what it does for the people driving by and your neighbors.
Definitely. Now, we have another question here. This is really geared towards, I guess, Rebecca. It says, I live out in the Halls Hill Pike area, and I was curious, how do you go about choosing what gardens and what homes to use for the Secret Garden Tours, and would I be eligible if I submitted photos?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, just give the Discovery Center a call. I'll chat with you. We love to add gardens to the tour. We might even include you next year. But typically, it's people that have been on the tour before, previous years, see the gardens, see what we do, and they're like, oh, I want to include my home. So then next year we can get them, and then we hope to have Master Gardeners gardens as well. And Reggie helps a lot with that.
That's a great question. Anybody out there that is going to be on this tour or listen to the program this morning who knows of a garden tour worthy garden or want to feature their garden 1 year, please let us know, because we're constantly looking for gardens for the future years. This year we've got 5 gardens this year, so we're set, but we're always looking for gardens for the coming years. So it's a lot of fun. We've had our personal gardens on it twice, and it is so much fun. And everybody that I know has had their gardens on the tour has just had a blast all weekend sharing their gardens with others. People are so happy and they're smiling and they're having a great time. They enjoy talking gardening, seeing beautiful gardens. The public is so appreciative of the homeowners that actually opened our gardens up, because it is a lot of work, but it's worth it. So I'm glad that question came up. Yes, please let us know if you know of a garden that might be a good one to consider for the Secret Garden Tour.
And you don't have to host it, because we have volunteers coming out of our ears, basically, to host these. So, you know, you can be at home and you can certainly participate and meet people if you choose to, but you're not obligated to make it come together. You know, our volunteers will be there.
Yeah, we'll have master gardeners at each stop on the Secret Garden Tour. There'll be 2 to 3 master gardeners at the ticket table. It's a $15 ticket, but that gets you into all of the gardens for the whole weekend. But yeah, you'll be greeted by a master gardener. And if you think you know of a garden and you're out and you have an idea, just let them know. Say, hey, I know of this garden that y'all might want to consider, or maybe my garden you might want to consider. Just let them know.
I was going to ask, because, you know, some folks who enjoy gardening, landscaping, they may not be people,
true.
You know, people persons.
True.
Exactly.
And so it would be that I could see where that would be intimidating. You know, do I want people to come over to my house and see my garden and ask questions about it?
Yeah, so, and they won't be roaming through your home. You know,
no.
This is a garden tour.
Hey, can I use the bathroom? That won't happen, right?
Right.
So when folks do come out to these houses to look at the different gardens and everything, what types of questions do they typically ask?
We'll get a lot of, what plant is this? You know, that's probably the biggest question. Somebody will see something in their yard in one of the garden tour stops, and they'll want to know what plant that is. And so we can help them with that. The homeowner can usually help them with that and is really happy to do that. But that's probably the main question.
And so much work goes into a good garden or good landscaping. And yes. I don't know that everyone realizes how much time it actually does take. And that's something that is tough because if you're going to do your own landscaping and you're going to do it right, you do have to kind of plan ahead for, well, this is going to take several weekends to get finished or several weeks to get finished.
Yeah, and
you can take it bit by bit. You know, you don't have to re-landscape a yard in one season even. You know, you can take, you can chunk it off. We have a new home and we're basically staging it in as we go along, front and back. And, you know, and you don't want to plant trees now because they're going to probably struggle a bit. So you wait, you know, okay, we're going to do the trees in the late fall. Today we're going to put in perennial flowers. And perennial gardens are a really great idea when you're looking at building your landscape because they're going to reseed themselves. They're going to be there. They're going to be kind of a one-off labor. And then you can fill in with your annuals that, you know, you want to add to them. So, you know, we have an Ask a Master Gardener table at the John Rice Agri Center at the farmers market that opens up not this weekend but next weekend. And every Tuesday and Friday we will have a table there, and if you have questions, you just want to enlarge on today's topics or vegetable gardens or whatever, feel free to come to that. We'll be tabled there, and we'll be there every week.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the very best landscaping and the very best gardens in general, they happen over years. They don't just happen overnight or over a weekend, even though we sometimes like for that to happen.
Right.
They evolve, as I was saying a while ago. They evolve and plants get moved, you know, as your landscape evolves. One way to approach a garden, and you hear the term a lot in landscaping discussions of garden rooms, kind of like your home, sort of think of your garden, different areas of your garden as different rooms. They all relate to one another, but they're all a little bit different, and take on one room at a time. It might be the back right corner of your garden. It might be the left right corner. It might be the front flower beds. But one way to do that is to break it down into individual rooms and then work on one of those at a time over years.
We had another question here real quick, and it just basically ask, how much is too much when landscaping and how little is too little? It's kind of vague, but you know, I guess I have seen some homes where there's hardly any landscaping whatsoever. It does not look good.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's definitely an aesthetic question as to the individual. You know, it is such a personal question. But I think of it like my inside of my home. It is an extension. I grew up with a mother who loved a garden. She thought of it as really part of her home. And I've learned a lot, made tons of mistakes. That's one of the things that you can't be afraid. There are going to be failures. I mean, it just happens. And you know, you don't want to give it up. But I think that's so personal. If you just want a low maintenance yard that has some color to it, you know, an all green front yard is pretty, it's a monoscape. You know, you just see what you see. You'd be surprised how little it takes to liven that up. You know, as Reggie was saying, instead of straight borders, curve out, you know, and there's techniques that keep it from being a hassle when you mow that lawn. You know, you create these live edges so you don't have to bang into bricks or borders. There's techniques, and we could talk all day on that stuff.
A good way to add some color in terms of small trees. There are red phases, or I guess there are purple phases of both the redbud tree and the Japanese maple, where the leaves aren't green, they're almost a burgundy color. And sometimes our landscapes, we do a lot of work in our landscapes, but for the most part, everything is green around here. That's just kind of the way it is, and that's beautiful. But you can break that up just a little bit by getting one of the red phase or purple phase red buds or Japanese maples, and they have that real strong burgundy color to break up some of the green a little bit. So that's one good way to kind of vary things a little bit.
Well, I'm going to ask this next question here, then we'll go to the break after that. But you guys may not like this question. it mentions how fake plants look more real than ever today, and this person has thought about actually putting in fake plants into their landscaping because they don't have a green thumb. But what are your thoughts on fake plants in today's times?
I'm just going to say, drive by any cemetery, and if that warms your heart,
good point.
Then go for it.
Good
and
point.
If it doesn't warm your heart, then your fake plants are probably not going to warm your heart either.
Can fake plants even look real in landscaping? I mean, I haven't seen anything that looks really real.
They do better indoors. Artificial plants indoors, artificial flowers, and things like that.
There are some stunning. There are some stunning examples. The problem you have is that you've got all this UV coming at it, and wind, and dust and things like that. And, you know, a dusty, fading flower in a garden is a giveaway.
It won't look real for long.
Maybe not. Yeah.
This morning we're talking lawns and gardens. We're going to take a short break and then we will be right back. If you have any questions or ideas, all you have to do is text those to us. Our number is 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
I happened to glance up and the clear sky was gone.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
All I could see was something round and black.
On WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Holden Hardware now has an e-commerce site. Go to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware and shop all the items in our warehouse. You can have them shipped directly to you, or most items can be shipped for free to Holden Hardware for pickup. Shop with us in person or go online to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
One more time.
doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
May 9th, the 50th year of the Rutherford County Farmers Market.
50 years of farm-to-family freshness at the Lane Agri Park on John R. Rice Boulevard.
7 a.m. to 1. It's not just a market, it's the Middle Tennessee tradition.
May 9th at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years, this is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning in studio, we do have Master Gardeners Reggie Riggs and Lynn Reynolds, and we are talking lawns and gardens. Then also from the Discovery Center and the Secret Garden Tour, which is coming up, we have Rebecca Dothot. Rebecca, tell us the date of the actual Secret Garden party and then the tour.
The party is Friday night, June 6th, and then the tour is the following Saturday and Sunday, the 7th and 8th of June.
And how do you get tickets for that?
So tickets can be purchased online at explorethedc.org. They are $15, and that will grant you admission to all the gardens for the day you purchase, and also get you admission to the museum for that day.
How many different gardens are there that we'll be able to see, and do all the funds go directly to the Discovery Center?
Yes, so it's 5 gardens on the tour, and then, yes, we are a nonprofit, and so these funds will be directed towards outreach initiatives, exhibits, and programs at the museum.
And then Lynn and Reggie, you guys will be out there. Yep. You'll have Master Gardeners out there to answer garden questions, landscape questions.
Absolutely, yeah.
There'll be master gardeners at each, at least two master gardeners at a welcome table at each garden. And also tickets can be bought at each individual garden. So you can just show up at one of the gardens, get your tickets there, or you can buy them in advance online, which is really a good way to do it. But yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there with smiling faces and happy to talk gardening.
I've seen some really pretty gardens, you know, throughout the years at those garden parties, the garden tours and everything. But some of the most interesting ones are the ones that are right next to the Stones River.
Oh, yeah. We've had a couple that were actually down to the Stones River and had like observation decks on the river. Mm. Don't have that this time. But in the past, yeah, that those anytime you have a garden or your home is on a water body, whether it's a lake or a river, that just adds a really nice appeal, and you can do some spectacular things along water bodies.
And I've also been surprised at, you know, you look at the front of the house and the yard, everything doesn't look very big, and then you walk into the backyard, it looks like you're just somewhere else, like a different land altogether.
That's true. That's very true.
What else is happening this time of year with master gardeners, with landscaping, gardening, all that stuff?
Well, we can kind of keep you busy every weekend if you wanted. So as we said, the Secret Garden Tour is going to be on the 7th of June. The following weekend, we have a free event out at the Lane Agri Park, and it's our first, we're redoing the first annual lawn and garden extravaganza. We had one several years back, and we're kicking it off again, better than ever. We have demonstration gardens out there, so we have pollinator gardens, herb gardens, composting, rain gardens, all kinds of gardens out there. So there'll be, again, it's a free event. Guided tours of all the demonstration gardens as you want. We'll have demonstrations of composting, proper turf care. We have all the kinds of grasses that grow in Tennessee are out there, and gardening for pollinators. Just for instance, Black-Eyed Susans host 99 native pollinators.
Wow.
99, one plant. So there's a whole garden that just tells you all that information. We'll have a scavenger hunt for the kids. If you've got plant pest issues, we will have a person here, Victoria Plant will be here from the Tennessee Department of Agriculture to answer those things. And there'll be short lectures going on Murfreesboro native plants, how to incorporate them in your home landscape. All of that's free, and it'll be from 9 to 1 on June 14th. And so you can just drop in. You can even bring your kids. We've got a pond out there that is a magnet for those kids. We've got birds in bird houses nesting, and you can bring a picnic lunch if you wanted, and sit out underneath our gazebo. So we hope we see you.
And speaking of Lane Agri Park, I know you mentioned a little while ago the farmer's market that returns May 9th. And then also in downtown Murfreesboro, the farmer's market on the square, that actually starts back this coming Saturday.
Sure does. And we'll have a master gardener once a month. I believe it's the third Saturday of the month, with a table at the farmer's market on the square, answering your garden questions.
There are so many opportunities here. If anybody likes gardening, enjoys gardening or landscaping, there's so many opportunities here to learn about gardening, about landscaping. There's a lot of places to shop as well in order to buy your landscaping, you know, your flowers, your all of that stuff. They're everywhere.
Yeah, we're in the nursery capital of the nation here. So,
I didn't realize that.
Well, you know, Middle Tennessee, there is no other.
One other good resource, and it'll be featured at the Garden Extravaganza at the Ag Center, where the farmer's market is held on Tuesdays and Fridays. In front of that, or near that, is a demonstration garden, the Master Gardener's Demonstration Garden. Most all of the plants in that garden are labeled, so it's a great time to go out there and walk through that garden. You can see composting, you can see all kind of native plants, you can see ornamentals, but so many of them are labeled, which makes it easy to identify something you might want to try in your own yard or your own garden. So I would recommend just any time you want to go out to the Ag Center and look at the demonstration garden. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I had another question here. Should I remulch or put new mulch down each and every year?
Yes.
So that's a plus.
Yes, that's a plus. And around here, most of us use hardwood mulch. I'm from the deep south, and down there, we use pine straw mulch. And if you really want to kind of cottage up your garden, give it a real nice, cozy cottage feel, pine straw is a wonderful mulch. I prefer a pine straw myself over hardwood mulch. It's a beautiful soft mulch when it goes down. It's easy to spread. If you need to touch it up, go to the garden center, buy two or three bales of straw, put them in your back of your car, take them home and spread them by hand. It's so much easier to handle and does a really good job of suppressing weeds. And also, weeds will not grow in pine straw.
It will grow
in mulch.
Do you have to worry about that blowing away? Because it is lighter.
It doesn't. It kind of locks in place.
Oh, yeah, it kind of weaves itself like a basket. And either mulch, the thing that I would like to really stress is don't use fake mulch. Don't use cut up rubber tires. We would also, I think, lean towards uncolored mulch. Yeah. That stuff actually leaches. You'll notice when you finish spreading your black mulch that you're covered in dye. That's just another thing that doesn't really belong in the garden. And if you got to have a black mulch, then okay, go for it. But make sure it's at least a biodegradable product, that is a plant product of some kind. You know, they do sell cut up rubber mulch. That is not what you want to be putting on. And plus, it absorbs heat.
You know, it's interesting. That stuff, I remember when it first came out, it was like a fad that lasted for a couple of years and then it kind of died out. Yeah. I don't even know where you buy the stuff anymore.
Well, also, the other thing about mulch is you don't have to take away the mulch. The mulch is decomposing. You add on to the mulch.
Yeah.
So over years, you're improving your soil. Another great mulch in the fall, as you're closing down your garden, is your leaves. Take your lawnmower and cut up those leaves and spread that on that garden. That's going to improve the soil enormously over the winter.
Mulch them up with the mower. If anybody wants to ask more questions, they can just call the Lane Agro Park or visit their website.
Yes, and our website is, give it to them, Reggie.
Our website is?
It's online somewhere.
Okay. It's rutherford.tennessee.edu.
Just Google it.
Yeah, or Google it.
Or Google it, well, exactly.
Thank you all for joining us this morning.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar net. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least match their prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your lawn and garden needs. Also, if you're looking for that great gift idea, please come see us. If you're looking for that perfect outfit or a wedding gift or baby gift, come see us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And if you haven't heard, we also carry the rain chains. If you're looking for something to replace your old gutter or put somewhere where you can't put a gutter, come see us at the Co-op Farm and Home Center, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.